Morning. It is good to see you this morning in class. It is always a privilege to look out and see you guys. And during this time of COVID, that says a lot. Good to have Lizzie back with us from traveling all over the world like she does. And Karen's with us. And Karen had the flu. She couldn't be like everybody else and get COVID. She has to get the flu. So. And I'm glad to see each and every one of you. Like Brother Chris said, we're so blessed with so many people who value church attendance, and that is such an encouraging thing. Well, to open up the service this morning, would you bow your head with me in a word of prayer? Father, we thank you for this chance to be in your house, and we just ask God that you would help us to see the intent of the psalm and some of the chapters we'll be reading this morning. Give us a new and deeper and greater appreciation for praising you and lifting our voices in song and glorifying your name. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you have your Bible this morning, turn over to Psalm 148 and Ephesians 5. Psalm 148 and Ephesians 5. The psalmist David in Psalm 148, verse number 1 says, "Praise ye the Lord, praise ye the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise ye him, all his angels. Praise ye him, all his hosts. Praise ye him, sun and moon. Praise him, all ye stars of light. Praise him, ye heavens of heavens, and ye waters that be above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded, and they were created. He hath also established them forever and ever. He hath made a decree which shall not pass. Praise the Lord from the earth, ye dragons, all ye deeps, fire and hail, snow and vapor, stormy wind fulfilling his word, mountains and all hills, fruitful trees and all cedars, beast and all cattle, creeping things and flying fowl, kings of the earth and all people, princes and all judges of the earth, both young men and maidens, old men and children. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is excellent. His glory is above the earth and heaven. He also exalteth the horn of his people, the praise of all his saints, even of the children of Israel, a people near unto him. Praise ye the Lord." Wow. Boy, that says a lot. There in verse number 14, where he says, "He also exalteth the horn of his people." The horn was a term used in that day and age that described the strength of a people, the wellness, the health, the prosperity, the strength of a people. And that verse is telling us, David is telling us, that God exalts the strength of a people who is near unto him. In the children of Israel, at times they were far from him. And God would let them go and do their thing, and God would let them figure out on their own that they wanted, that they needed. It was best for them to be near unto God. You say, "Well, how do you be near unto God?" Well, Ephesians 2:13 says, "But now in Christ Jesus, who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Jesus Christ." Boy, isn't that good? "Ye who sometimes were far off, now are made nigh," or near, "unto him by the blood of Jesus Christ." Now, we can be near, like so many things, you know, life's a balance, our faith is a balance. We can be near unto the Lord in two ways. Positionally, that means we have a position of being near to him. We're saved. We've accepted that free grace, that free gift of faith in Jesus Christ, and we're Christians. We're a child of God. That's positionally near unto him. But we can also be, and we should be, practically near to Him. Practically near to Him. Because although we're positionally near to Him and we're saved and we're going to heaven and we're a child of God, sometimes we, like the children of Israel, wander far from Him. We get some stinking thinking going on in our minds. And we drift away from Him and we're not near Him practically. Turn two pages to your right to Psalm 150. And keep holding your place. We'll get to Ephesians in just a minute. Psalm 150 also is about praise. Verse 1 says, "Praise ye the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in the firmament of His power. Praise Him for His mighty acts. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Praise Him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise Him with the psaltery and harp. Praise Him with the timbrel and dance. Praise Him with stringed instruments and organs. Praise Him upon the loud cymbals. Praise Him upon the high-sounding cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord." Now, I get the feeling from reading those six verses that He wants us to praise the Lord. I get the feeling that that's pretty important to God when His people lift their voices and praise His name. And we know it is because we see it all throughout the Bible. God loves it when His people acknowledge Him and they praise Him. Now, we can praise Him in many different ways. We praise Him and we glorify Him with a life that's a life of obedience, a life that is a life that exhibits all the traits that a child of God should exhibit. That's one kind of praise, but definitely one of the best ways to praise Him is by song. Getting together and lifting our voices in praise to the Lord. We are creatures of habit, aren't we? We are creatures of habit, and us coming to church two, maybe three times a week, and we get used to singing here and looking at Brother David lead us, and we can get, you know, there's an old saying, familiarity breeds contempt. You get used to something too familiar becomes old, and that's a dangerous place to be, because this is a wonderful time for God's people to come together and lift our voices. Boy, it just irks me sometimes, you know, in the song service, you look around and people are talking. They're talking about plans for next week, and they're putting their makeup on and this and that. And you know, this is a special time for Pat and Dwayne to get together and lift their voices in praise to the Lord because He's done so much for us. Boy. Now go to Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5 is the chapter that characterizes the child of God when he or she is controlled by the Holy Spirit. Things that we do when we're controlled by Him. Look in verse 15. "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." Now verse 19 clearly tells us that we should sing unto the Lord. And now we can sing silently or not silently. We can sing privately to ourselves, and we should. We should have a personal praise to the Lord and a personal gratitude to Him, that where we lift our thoughts and our voices in praise to the Lord. And quite frankly, you will admit with me, sometimes we wish people would do it silently. Don't you know what I mean? Aren't you glad the Lord doesn't listen to the tone of our voice? He looks at the tone of our heart. Boy, I am. He accepts our praise. He delights in our songs. You know, the first song that was recorded was by the children of Israel over in Exodus chapter 15. We're not going to turn there. But you remember, the people were in bondage to Egypt. And they were complaining because they were hurting. They were in misery. And the very first song recorded in the Bible, I believe, I'll say that and then say I better confirm that, but I believe it's the first song recorded in the Bible, is when the people of Israel were freed from their bondage and they were on their way. God had freed them. And in Exodus 15, they lifted their voices in praise and in song to God for what he had done. It wasn't centered on themselves. They weren't glad in themselves or what they had done, but it majored on what God did in their life in freeing them from their Egyptian bondage. They were thankful to God for their redemption. When they finally figured out who God was and that God had made a way for them to become free, what was that way? Well, it started with brushing the blood on the doorpost. Remember that? A way of the blood of the lamb being part of their freedom. And then it went from there to protection and all the plagues. And it went from there for them trusting God, trust Moses, who trusted God, that he knew what to do to get them freed. And when they finally were freed and they were sent down the road and they were traveling to the promised land, in Exodus 15, they lifted their voices. The entire people of Israel lifted their voices in song. And it was all about God, not themselves. Listen to this. In that song, the word Lord occurs no less than 12 times in 18 verses. The pronouns referring to God, the pronouns he, him, thy, thou, and thee are found 35 times in 18 verses. This was all about God and not about them. And, you know, I walk a fine line here because some of these are precious songs. But listen to some of these titles that we love some of these songs. But see how different they are to what Israel sang. And the first one, I dearly love, Brother Albert, Each Step I Take. You remember that song, that old song, Each Step I Take, My Savior Goes Before. I love that song. But the very title itself is talking about what I do instead of what God does. I'll never walk alone. If I have wounded any soul today, I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. Lord, build me a cabin in the corner of glory land. If anyone makes it, Lord, surely I will. Now, these are good songs, don't get me wrong. And they're full of emotion and sentimentality. But when the children of Israel sang, they sang of adoration to God. They glorified God for what he did. It was all about not their experiences, but his mercies. Not their abilities, but his power. Not their effort, but his redeeming them. The theme of their song in Exodus 15 was, I will exalt him because he has redeemed me. And it was an expression of how they feel, how they felt. And you and I have so much to be thankful for. We have so much to feel. And music, song can be an expression of our heart as we do that. Many of the great hymns that we've heard down through the years and that we've sung were written by people who went through great experiences in their life that God got them through. And they recorded the passions of their heart in these songs as gratitude to the Lord. You know the name Charles Wesley from the 1800s. That song, Jesus, Lover of My Soul, was written because Charles Wesley was on a ship bound across the Atlantic. And for two or three days straight, there was a squalor, a storm that took place. And I read a little bit about it, and it said that for that entire length of time, that ship would ride the top of each wave, and then as the wave gave out, it would crash to the bottom of the water as if going to the bottom of the sea. And they knew they were dead. Everybody knew they were dead. But they lived through it. And Charles Wesley penned Jesus, Lover of My Soul shortly thereafter because his faith in God providing them safety through that storm. Jesus, Lover of My Soul, let me to thy bosom fly while the nearer waters roll, while the tempest still is high. Hide me, O my Savior, hide till the storm of life is past. Safe into the haven guide, O receive my soul at last. He went on to write 6,500 hymns. 6,500 hymns! He just expressed what God meant to him, and he expressed it in song. We sing that song around here, Nearer My God to Thee. That was written by a woman by the name of Sarah Flower. And she wanted to be an actor, but because of very poor health, she became a writer instead. And one day she was reading Genesis chapter 29. And that chapter, if you remember, is all about Jacob when he left home and he went to sleep on a lonely hillside with a stone or a rock for a pillow. And he dreamed that he saw a ladder reaching into heaven, angels descending and ascending upon that ladder to the heavens. And she wrote, "Nearer, my God, to thee." That was her heart's desire, to be drawn close to the Lord in her life. And she wrote that song expressing that. Fanny Crosby wrote over 8,000 hymns. Amazing Grace was one of them. Safe in the arms of Jesus. Her faith was so strong, and her closeness to the Lord was so strong, that she penned her emotions in song, because music is the language of the soul. I got to tell you, we have a wonderful opportunity three times a week. When David comes up on this stage and he starts leading, we got an opportunity to express our gratitude and our love to the Lord for what he's done. That's what David did in Psalm 40. It says, "To the chief musician." That lets you know it's a song. Pretty smart, huh? A psalm of David. "I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear, and shall trust in the Lord." You see, when you realize what God's done, and when you look at him and you realize who he is and his power and his glory, it's easy to sing about him. When you think about that, it gives you a new perspective, and you want to praise him for it. You know, perspective in life is everything. Whatever we're talking about, things at work or home or whatever, at church, it's all, you've heard the phrase, it's all a matter of perspective. Well, it is. The story goes that Abraham Lincoln pardoned a young man who was sentenced to death. And in appreciation for his pardon, the boy's mother went to thank the president one day. And she spent a few minutes with him, and when she left his presence, she was unable to speak for a long time, as if she was stunned in silence after meeting the president. Then all of a sudden, a couple days later, she broke her silence and said loudly, "I knew it was a copper-headed lie." And the man that was with her, Thaddeus Stevens, said, "What are you talking about?" And she said, "Well, they told me that Lincoln was an ugly man, yet he is the most handsome man I have ever seen in my life." Now, his looks didn't change. The press had said he was a very ugly man, and that's all that people knew. Well, he was very tall and very lanky and very ugly. But this woman's son was pardoned by President Lincoln. And to her, he was a beautiful sight. Her perspective was changed by her gratitude for what he did. If we realize what God has done for us, then our praise will be so evident in our life. And friends, if you're not spending time in the Word of God, you'll never see that perspective. I pity those people who never spend time in the Word. And the time I'm talking about is alone time. TV off, computer off. I've told you many times how my most productive times in the study of God's Word, and I have some wonderful software programs for Bible study, but my most wonderful time of Bible study is turning that thing off. No distractions. And I spend time with God, and sometimes I do that, and I spend time in His Word, and I read a chapter, and it's just not there. I'm not seeing it. My mind's gone, and I have to push my Bible aside for a second, and I just have to pray that God speak to me and calm whatever is in my head and fix that. And, you know, sometimes I might have to do that a time or two, but when I do, when I finally get some special time in the Word of God, it's when He has soothed whatever is wrong in my heart, and I see the Word of God, I see the words in a different way than I've ever seen before. That's a special time. And you get a special perspective when you spend time in the Word of God. Now let's look at Psalm 50 again. We read it one time, but we're going to look at it just a hair more closely this time. In Psalm 50, David gives us a few notes. And the first note that he gives us is in verse 1. A place at which to praise the Lord. He says, "Praise ye the Lord, praise God in His sanctuary, praise Him in the firmament of His power." Those last four words just means the heavens, firmament of his power. Praise him outside the church. We're to praise God in his house, then we're to praise God in the firmament or in the heavens. Now, when you look at the nation of Israel in their song in Exodus 15, you see them praising the Lord for what he did, but also in their life thereafter, you see the most special times that they praised the Lord was in the house of God. First example, they built the tabernacle. Took a long time. We went through the construction of the tabernacle. But once the tabernacle was all finished, it was all built, and God's glory filled the tabernacle, what'd they do? They all got together and they praised God. They held a huge convocation. Everybody got together to lift their voices in praise to the Lord. Same thing in Solomon's time when the temple was completed. That extravagant design was completed, and the very first thing they did, was pull everybody in from all over. And they came to Solomon's temple and they praised God. We have a wonderful opportunity here. The church in the New Testament did the same thing, and there's nothing to compare. There's nothing that can stand or hold a candle up to God's people getting together and praising his name. And like I said a minute ago, we need to have a personal praise. We do. We need to have a time of praise at home and a personal time where we glorify God. But there's a special dynamic when God's people get together. This is just another reason why we need to belong to a local church and attend its services. Because there's something special happens when Landon and Dwayne get together and praise the Lord. When Judy and Albert and Reese get together, there's a special dynamic there when we focus our attentions upon what God has done for us. And so David gives us a place at which to praise the Lord in verse number 1. And in verse number 2, he gives us a reason to praise the Lord. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. No doubt the psalmist thought about, when he was writing this, no doubt he thought about the Egyptian bondage that God's people were in and the deliverance that God provided. He might have been thinking about the night God killed 185,000 soldiers of the enemy. He might have been thinking that night when God put chariots of fire around God's prophet and protected him. But he said, man, there's a reason to praise God. We just came through Christmas time, and Christmas is all about the incarnation, God becoming a man in the form of a baby, and then growing up and being crucified, and in April we'll celebrate his resurrection. We have a lot to be thankful for. God condescended, God, Almighty God, who is all-powerful and the creator of all things, he condescended to become a man so we had a way to be redeemed. He did that for us. We should get together and we should praise him. And then in verse 3, the psalmist David says that there are things which we have in our possessions to praise the Lord. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the psaltery and harp. Praise him with the timbrel and dance. Praise him with stringed instruments and organs. Praise him upon the loud cymbals. Praise him upon the high-sounding cymbals. If you go back and read Old Testament history, every time God's people got together as they were traveling through the wilderness and they lifted their voices in praise, there were musical instruments. Whatever was around, they made it to be a musical instruments to praise the Lord. We got quite a few here at times, and they do such a great job. They lift those musical instruments to praise. But then in verse number 6, you say, well, I don't play anything. I don't have any musical ability, Dwayne. I don't have any musical ability to play an instrument. Okay, verse number 6 is for you. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. We all got the power to sing. Now, sometimes, like I said a moment ago, we may wish that our fellow church members sitting in front of us may, or behind us, or to the side of us may sing silently. But God don't listen to that. He listens to the heart. He listens to the willfulness of the heart. And we get together and we joke about not being able to carry a tune in the bucket. One husband said, I walked in on my wife singing the other day, and surprised, I said, oh, I thought you were the radio. Flattered, she asked, well, did you come to listen? He said, no, I came to turn it off. When God listens to our praise, he doesn't listen to the tone of, from the sound going to C to D to E. He listens to our heart. Isn't that great? He listens to our praise. We have an opportunity to praise him, and we should do that. Colossians 3:16 says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, speaking and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. But it doesn't stop there. He says this in verse 17, and whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. That's why Bob, sitting right here, who can't carry a tune in the bucket, and Tom, sitting right here next to him, who's a beautiful singer, beautiful baritone voice, Albert, you know, that's why they can get together and sit next to each other, and although one's out of tune and one's in tune, they're perfectly in tune with God together because he's listening to the sound of their heart. That's praise. That's just us getting together and glorifying God for what he's done in our life. And we have an opportunity to do that here in just a few minutes. An opportunity just to forget all this COVID mess. Forget what's happening at work next week or what kind of bills are laying on the desk to be paid. We have an opportunity just to get together and center our thoughts on what God has done in our life and worship him in praise. No matter what we sound like. Amen? Would you pray with me? Father, we take a